Welcome to Angels and Seer Stones. I'm Chris.
And I'm Christine.
Today we are going to discuss the purchase of the Kirtland Temple and the Smith family properties in Nauvoo by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you probably know, these sites have been owned by Community of Christ, or what we once referred to as the RLDS, or Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, since the mid-19th century.
This means a lot to us personally because in 2011, as newlyweds, we worked as summer tour guides for Community of Christ in Nauvoo.
So stick around and we'll tell you all about it.
Latter-day Saints are a people of radical faith. We are a unique body of Bible-believing Christians. For us, the scriptural canon has been opened. The traditional sacraments have expanded. Our beliefs and practices are steeped in universalism, esotericism, and apocalypticism.
The Latter-day Saint tradition is a religion in which angels visit everyday people, and sometimes men and women see the divine in stones. In this podcast, we examine the lived religion of Latter-day Saints, our beliefs, and our stories.
We take seriously the whole gamut of Latter-day Saint experience. Join us, Christine and Chris Blythe,
two professional folklorists and Latter-day Saint converts,
as we openly discuss our faith while exploring the traditions of our chosen people. So this is a really big deal. Kirtland, Ohio, and Nauvoo, Illinois are crucial places in our history. The Kirtland Temple is the very first Latter-day Saint temple. It was built in 1836, and it was there that the first endowment ceremonies were performed. It's where Oliver Cowdery and Joseph Smith saw Jesus, Elijah, Elias, and Moses. People reported all sorts of miraculous experiences in the Kirtland Temple.
And Nauvoo is where the saints established a city that would grow to be very near the size of Chicago. This is where Joseph Smith introduced the temple endowment as practiced in current LDS temples. It's also where baptisms for the dead were revealed, and where he launched his plan to become president of the United States. It's there that the Relief Society was organized and where converts first started flowing in from Great Britain.
Today, tens of thousands of visitors, mostly Latter-day Saints from the Western United States, pour into these cities, to these sites owned by either the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or Community of Christ, and they do it every summer. These two churches have a shared heritage, but over the course of 150 years have grown apart. In short, the LDS Church has remained invested in the founding vision of the Restoration, whereas Community of Christ has grown to take on a mission that is aimed at bringing about peace and social justice.
That's right. So the sites consist of the Joseph Smith family properties in Nauvoo, along with the reconstructed Red Brick Store, the Nauvoo House, and several less significant properties that were maintained by Community of Christ. In fact, we lived in one of these, the Aaron Johnson home, which sat just a street length away from the banks of the Mississippi River. It's a place Chris and I think about quite a bit.
We loved it. And this is off on a tangent, but it was also in Nauvoo, on one of our last days as fellows for Community of Christ, that Christine told me that we were pregnant with our first child.
That's true. I told him in the garden outside of the Nauvoo Temple, but that's a story for another time. So this transaction didn't just include the purchase of buildings. It also included the Kirtland Temple, the Visitor Center, and the surrounding historic homes. Plus, this also included the manuscript, the Joseph Smith translation, letters exchanged by Joseph and Emma, their portraits, historic furniture, and many other documents and historic items.
Wow. I mean, this is a really big deal. Like I said, we can already get a rough idea of how people are reacting to the purchase by looking on social media. There is, of course, much celebration among Latter-day Saints. Some point out how much they are looking forward to going to Nauvoo or Kirtland this summer. You can find some individuals making vague comments about this being a sign of the times, which is, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is strange because there aren't any prophecies that I'm aware of that the church needs these sites for last days events. It would make sense for Latter-day Saints to reap apocalyptic scenes into the purchase of land or into sites in Independence where the New Jerusalem has been prophesied to be built. But this really isn't an obvious apocalyptic thing, at least not that I can think of.
Right. You know, from what I'm seeing online, most Latter-day Saints are repeating the points of the church's official statement. There, Russell M. Nelson expresses his gratitude to Community of Christ for preserving the sites, for being stewards.
Yeah, you're right. I think this speaks to how Latter-day Saints and Community of Christ relationships have improved over the past few decades. But there are those online comments which are more disappointing, and those convey what our friend Artist Partial, who runs Keep a Pitchin' and blog, rightfully referred to as triumphalism.
These are definitely around, and I think they should be condemned. It's wonderful to be excited and grateful, or to think about the historical causes for the sale. But imagining this moment as a win in some ongoing competition between our two faith communities is hopefully outdated. And it's insensitive to people Christine and I really loved. You know, Christine, I just want to say that while we were there, we would often run into people who said they wouldn't come to Community of Christ sites. Even though they were on this vacation, they traveled 1,000 miles to get out there, 2,000, to get out and see Nauvoo. But for some reason, they refused to go there. And so when people talk about, I can't wait to go to Nauvoo this summer, I mean, I want to hear everybody's excited to go to Nauvoo. But I'm a little bothered because I also know some people came into these sites and this experience there with a little bit of attitude.
Yeah, I think you're right. We did encounter that quite a bit. Fortunately, the reaction that we're most seeing, especially from Latter-day Saint academics, is a little bit more heartening. You know, they're mourning with those who mourn, certainly expressing excitement, but also expressing their sympathies. I think our community is a bit different because we have so many of Community of Christ friends. So we know they're hurting. We know they're scrambling to re-envision what their devotional and professional lives look like without these properties.
This is life-altering. I want us to play a bit of Lachlan Mackay's response to the sale. Christine and I worked under Locke as tour guides in Nauvoo during that summer. We're big fans.
Yeah, we sure are. We love Locke.
At the time, he was a full-time historian working there in Nauvoo for Community of Christ. In the coming years, he'd become an apostle. And that's why his response is so important.
I think we should take his thoughts seriously, like you said, because Locke is an apostle, but also because he's one of the more historically inclined members of the Community of Christ. And what's more interesting, I think, is Locke is actually a descendant of Joseph Smith Jr. In fact, the descendant of three presidents of Community of Christ. Joseph Smith Jr., Joseph Smith III, and Frederick M. Smith. Let's go ahead and see what Locke has to say.
As an introvert, I hate talking about myself. Today, I'm going to make an exception. My grandmother was Lois Smith Larson, a daughter of President Frederick Madison Smith and granddaughter of Joseph Smith III. I grew up attending Smith family reunions in Nauvoo and Independence, but it wasn't until after university that I fell in love with our story. Following several summer internships, I ended up as director of the Kirtland Temple Historic Site and spent 15 years living literally in the shadow of Kirtland Temple. I moved to Nauvoo in 2007 and have lived on the Joseph Smith Historic Site for 18 years. These places have been my home for almost my entire adult life. I met my wife, Kristen, in the Red Brick Store in Nauvoo and was ordained to my first and favorite priesthood office, teacher, in Kirtland Temple. I've almost certainly given more tours of Kirtland Temple than any living person. And the Nauvoo House, Homestead, and Mansion House are my ancestral homes. For me, the decision to part with these places has been devastating emotionally. There was a time when I thought it might break me, but if I inherited anything from Joseph Smith III, it's his pragmatism. And intellectually, the path forward is clear. I care deeply about our past, but I care even more about our future. The post-pandemic world has changed. The needs have never been greater, and we no longer have the resources, human or financial, to care for these places the way they deserve to be cared for. The Smith family, like larger church family in the 1830s and 40s, suffered extraordinary losses in Ohio, Missouri, and Illinois, but they faithfully persevered. The most important items in this transaction came to the church from the family. So the proceeds from the sale, at some level, are an extraordinarily generous gift from them that will sustain us as we move into the future. I think they would feel good about that. Amid my grief, so do I.
Many Community of Christ members are responding much like Lachlan Mackay, grateful the sites will have financial backing, but also sad that their denomination will no longer own the properties. Now, I want to be fair. Just as there are some Latter-day Saints who are responding poorly, There are plenty of negative comments circulating about the LDS Church, some saying that the church didn't pay enough or were able to take advantage of Community of Christ in their time of need because of their great wealth. Others worry that the LDS Church would not be true to their commitment to keep the Kirtland Temple open to the public or to allow Community of Christ to meet in the building 6 times each year, which is the current plan.
Yeah, you know, I really couldn't imagine what it would be like if we had to sell one of our historic temples.
It would be devastating without question. And we knew as an academic community and as people that have interacted with Community of Christ for a decade that this was a painful topic long before this week.
As Chris mentioned, when we worked for Community of Christ, we often had guests who didn't know our church affiliation. Sometimes this was a lot of fun. I had more than a handful of people try to convert me. One who mailed me a Book of Mormon with their testimony in it. And because I'm a Latter-day Saint, I thought this was really sweet, actually. But less pleasant were rumors, you know, folklore that Community of Christ was in negotiations to sell, you know, Nauvoo and the Kirtland Temple. This was way back in 2011. And we know those rumors were circulating well before them. And for those guests, their excitement was just a little bit too transparent. You could imagine the same happening to a missionary proselytizing on Temple Square, right? You know, I would always assure those guests that this was only a rumor and that Community of Christ were proud owners of the sites and that we're providing a really neat historical experience, one that we should be grateful for. And in fact, I rebuffed this rumor dozens of times over the past decade and for the final time only last October, except that time, I didn't know it, but it wasn't a rumor. It was whisperings of an actual event. I actually had to call up that friend and apologize this week for not believing them.
We saw and heard so many unofficial responses over the years where Community of Christ leaders or prominent members, some of our friends, denied the very possibility that the temple or Nauvoo sites would ever be sold. Some understandably took great offense at the question, especially when it became obvious Community of Christ really was in financial straits. Why don't you read your account of our experience giving tours in Nauvoo? I think it will help our listeners capture that experience that we had, but also to remember the experience that Community of Christ tour guides provided to largely Latter-day Saint guests for the past many decades.
Okay, here's my simple recollection. We guided guests around the excavated site of Joseph Stables and down around the Nauvoo house where guests were invited to imagine a morning Emma rocking solemnly from the window of an upper floor. We walked through Smith's 1839 home and past the cemetery where Joseph and Hiram and Emma's bodies lay surrounded by a garden concealing the bodies of Smith's children, sons and daughters and brothers of the prophet. We then crossed the road to the mansion house. Many would comment that it was a place where Emma pushed Eliza down the stairs as she grappled with the hardships of plural marriage. But it was also the place where Joseph once displayed his mummies and Egyptian artifacts, and later, on one solemn occasion, the location where the saints gathered to mourn the deaths of Joseph and Hiram and pay their respect to Mother Smith and the widowed spouse. The tour always concluded in the red brick store. It was my favorite stop of each visit. Sitting on the upper floor, I introduced Joseph's campaign for presidency of the United States, his unique platform for ending slavery and reforming prison, and talking about the very first Nauvoo era endowment that took place, where plants were carefully positioned and white sheets hung to create a makeshift temple. We were, as far as I know, the first LDS interns to work for Community of Christ. And that summer, 3 other interns, a Catholic, a self-proclaimed inactive Latter-day Saint, and a Restoration Branch member met nightly to study the history of Nauvoo. On our days off, we spent time with senior missionaries who quickly became our closest friends. And that summer, Nauvoo became sacred to Chris and me. The history of Nauvoo, a good friend. And while the LDS historic sites offered a devotional experience that I'm quite fond of, Community of Christ offered a depth of experience that was incredibly meaningful to us both.
That's a great review of the tours we gave for Community of Christ. As I think about my experience in Nauvoo, a conversation I had with Locke really sticks out to me. I came to Nauvoo as a young PhD student, and I had some pride. I remember saying to him one time that I really liked working for the Joseph Smith Historic Sites, the Community of Christ sites, because unlike the other side of town where LDS missionaries told the story, we were focused on real history. Locke looked at me and said, "You can think about it this way if you want, but that's not how I think about it." He explained that all historical presentations had biases in them. And so while history might not be the focus in LDS sites, the presentation we gave certainly had a perspective to it. We left out things and emphasized others.
A point that I think is important to make here is that while traditionally the split between LDS and Community Christ sites have been devotional versus historical, you know, that division developed, you know, only in the past 30 years or so. In the more distant path, both sites were devotional, and Community of Christ's presentation were geared toward defending their unique faith claims.
Absolutely. I remember a memorable line in an older version of the Community of Christ presentations. You could find these sort of tour guide scripts laying around in Nauvoo. In this older version, it's stressed that it was important for tour guides to state that Emma Hale Smith was Joseph's one and only wife. Here was a comment clearly geared towards Latter-day Saint visitors. That is, polygamy is not real. This was a lie taught by your church leaders. This stopped in the 1980s or 1990s, and then Community of Christ began focusing on history in a different way.
Yeah, and the LDS Church has in the past many years written more historically accurate scripts. In fact, the sites were more recently turned over from the missionary department to the historical department. Maybe we should go ahead and read a Facebook post by Jenny Lund, who recently retired from her position as director of historic sites. I think it's been about a year now.
Jenny wrote, "In the last few days, friends have asked for my take on the recent acquisition of the Kirtland Temple and other historic properties by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I've also been asked specifically about what the tours will be like, revealing anxiety that the sites will become proselyting venues, a practice that was in place for many years at Latter-day Saint historic sites. I have now been retired for more than a year, and I cannot speak to specifics, but I can speak to generalities with a little bit of history thrown in. Hopefully, my thoughts will provide some reassurance that the sites will continue to be well cared for and where history will be the primary focus. In 2018, leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints approved a major shift in focus at historic sites when operations were transferred from the missionary department to the church history department. Since then, training for missionaries has shifted away from a proselytizing model to a historic interpretation model. The focus is still on stories of faith. These are religious sites, after all, but we hope those stories will be delivered in accurate, balanced, and engaging ways. These sites are in good hands. If you are basing your perception of historic sites on visits you made prior to 2019, you need to go back. I think you will see a significant difference." I think that's a really powerful statement that Jenny made on her own Facebook page. We have lots of good statements being made by people involved with the new sites program, as well as the old sites program, Latter-day Saints and Community of Christ members. You know, when I go visit the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints sites in Nauvoo, I recognize that they aren't sharing every bit of controversial detail, but neither did we when we were tour guides for Community of Christ. In fact, we were discouraged from talking about certain issues. Both communities were often unwilling to answer questions on controversial things. Latter-day Saint missionaries now have a book that provides answers to the difficult material. The point is that both communities are trying to tell a story that makes sense to them. I want to give an example that I learned about from reading David Hallett's wonderful book, The Kirtland Temple, the biography of a shared Mormon sacred space. He traces the history of the Community of Christ tour guide's presentation. Remember, Community of Christ rejected the practice of temple ordinances, and Latter-day Saints, who emphasize temple ordinances, believe the authority to perform those ordinances was first bestowed through a series of angelic visitations that happened in the Kirtland Temple. This is the April 3rd, 1836 appearance of Jesus, Elijah, Moses, and Elias to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. I mentioned that earlier. So initially in the 1960s and 1980s, tour guides from Community of Christ would deliberately cast doubt on whether the experience really happened or was just a LDS forgery. Over time, the script changed to include a passing comment that some people believed that this appearance occurred in this space. In response to constant badgering from Latter-day Saints, who made up the vast majority of visitors to Kirtland, guides were eventually given the option to tell the complete story for the sake of their guests or to skip it. This has always been an uncomfortable experience to Latter-day Saints, since this is the overarching significance of the building in their minds. It's a question about what's included and what's left out that we're talking about. This is going to be part of the process of change. Now, we know historical presentations from the LDS Church are going to be rooted in history, but they're also going to be rooted in telling a narrative, a faith-lifting narrative, primarily to Latter-day Saints who visit these sites. And along the way, some interesting historical details as well, and hopefully tour guides that are able to answer questions on a much larger array of experiences. And this leads us to the most interesting question that we are all pondering. What now? What will the presentation look like? What will happen to these sites?
Yeah, that's a good question. I want to hear answers from our guests who are listening. What do you think is going to happen to these sites? You know, for me, I'm thinking a lot about Community of Christ presentation format, which was a uniquely immersive experience. You know, a story that began with the draining of the swampy Illinois flats and ended with the death of Joseph and the succession crisis. I suspect the LDS Church will staff individual buildings with senior missionaries will focus on a singular and more exclusive narrative. And I guess I worry that that format that Community of Christ had is going to be lost. At the same time, in terms of the Kirtland Temple, I'm really looking forward to the addition of testimony and devotional language that we haven't had quite yet, as Chris mentioned.
This week, there was a press conference from Historic Sites, LDS Historic Sites, where Matt Groh commented on this fact. And he mentioned that there's going to be two major tours, one that's going to lead people by the Nauvoo House and take them into the homestead and the mansion house, these two, I guess, kind of three properties that the Smith family owned, and then a separate tour that's going to be at the red brick store. It's pretty interesting. So we now have kind of an idea what's going on, but you know what I really think is going to be interesting? I think it's going to be interesting to see how pageant and the theatrical vignettes that they do during the day might incorporate these sites. I can imagine a scene positioned right in front of the Nauvoo House on the banks of the Mississippi where Joseph and Emma are waiting for new converts to arrive. And you might remember, listener, that Joseph wanted to shake hands with each new arrival. What I love about the Community of Christ presentation, it is that it was rooted in these family stories. In many ways, the LDS presentation is rooted in convert stories, which is wonderful, and the stories of the homes that people lived in. I really hope we get to maintain the stories of the Smith family that continued in Nauvoo for such a long time. And that's why I think it would be so great if they hire a 12-year-old Joseph Smith III to be an actor in the upcoming pageants now that we have this spot. We just imagine adolescent Joseph Smith III running behind his dad.
Okay, I love that idea. Who do we have to call to make that happen? You know, another question I have is, will the church finish the Nauvoo House? The current property, I don't know if our listeners remember this, for those who have visited Nauvoo, the property, the Nauvoo House, is a home. It's a hotel. It was incomplete in its construction, but was later built upon by Emma Smith and her second husband, Louis Biedemann, who lived there for a time. But what's really interesting about this building is that there is a revelation in Doctrine and Covenants 124 that commands the construction of the Nauvoo House. This is one of those, thus saith the Lord style revelations. So is it possible we'll complete it? I don't know. Probably not, but it would be fun.
When it comes to the properties themselves, I can remember when we were fellows hanging around with Locke and other guides and dreaming of setting up the Masonic Lodge or the scene of the First Endowment in the upstairs of the Red Brick Store. What will it look like now that Latter-day Saints are going to narrate that space?
I don't know, but we'll definitely see an emphasis on the Relief Society in the Red Brick Store presentation.
This is for sure. Christine and I have made all sorts of predictions hanging around the house here this last week. I'd love to hear from our listeners. What do you guys think the LDS Church should, or what do you think they will do with these new sites?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear from everyone on this topic. There's no doubt that the LDS Church's ownership of these properties is significant. I mean, it really is. It will lead to a narrative turn toward LDS theology and history and belief. It becomes an embodiment of a certain 19th century story that reflects what members of our faith hold sacred. For Latter-day Saints, this is a reason to rejoice, but that's all the more reason why Community of Christ mourns, and I feel it.
That's right. You know, as our friend Mags Edvilson, an oral historian and actually a folklorist who works for Community of Christ, shared with us earlier today, the loss isn't confined to a decade of early church history. For Community of Christ, these properties are a symbol of nearly two centuries, 150 years, of RLDS and Community of Christ heritage. Let's listen to what she had to say about the summer she interned as a tour guide at the Kirtland Temple.
My favorite part of every tour was walking up to the temple with the group. It wasn't scripted, but I always liked to stop by the flower beds to talk about the artifacts we could find after rainstorms washed through the dirt. I found something new on almost every tour, Sometimes it was a coin, a button, or a shard of glass, but on occasion we would find a shard of pottery, plaster, or even china. Patrons always got excited about these and asked about the women sacrificing their fine china to make the temple plaster shine. This bit of folklore isn't historically founded, but for Community of Christ members, the artifacts held a different meaning. Most of these findings dated back to the period when RLDS family camps, or reunions, were held on the temple grounds. This practice ended in the 1950s when they got too big and unsafe next to the busy road that the temple sits by. But every summer for decades, RLDS members would gather together for days at a time to worship in the temple and spend time together. Because this was an era before dumpsters or pack-it-in, pack-it-out rules, attendees would bury their litter where they'd camped.
Thanks, Mags, for sharing that. I do hope those memories will be preserved and recorded and shared, and that Community of Christ will feel welcome to visit these sites, reflect on their unique connections to their past. You know, Executive Director of Community of Christ Historic Sites, Barbara Walden, expressed something quite similar and was hopeful that these traditions that they've created and maintained over the years will continue.
I really like that statement. And we already have expectations for hymn festivals to continue and other Community of Christ gatherings planned for these spaces. Just as Latter-day Saints have been thankful for Community of Christ to act as stewards of their heritage, I hope that members of Community of Christ will continue to use the sites while the LDS Church acts as stewards of their heritage. Thanks for listening, friends. If you want to know more about LDS and Community of Christ relations in Nauvoo and Kirtland, you are in luck. There are two wonderful books that you should read. One is Scott Esplin's Return to the City of Joseph, Modern Mormonism's Contest for the Soul of Nauvoo. This came out in 2018 and is a great study exploring how the current city became mapped out and how the two denominations have tried to present the story of our common heritage, sometimes in really contentious environments, and sometimes in really cooperative ones.
Right. And Scott is currently the Dean of College of Religious Education at Brigham Young University. So this is one written by a Latter-day Saint, and our second title is from a member of Community of Christ.
David Hallett is our second author, and his book is The Kirtland Temple, the Biography of a Shared Mormon Sacred Space. Christine knows David very well, since she's the executive director of Mormon History Association, and David's actually the president of that organization this year.
Oh, David's wonderful. We all should be so lucky to know him. You know, what I remember from his book is his discussion of parallel pilgrimage. You know, the Kirtland Temple became a site that multiple Latter-day Saint denominations could celebrate their individual understanding of the Restoration. Get his book.
Christine, I want you to take a moment and plug this Kirtland conference we're having in the Mormon History Association this year. This is a big deal. We have a Community of Christ president and we have an LDS executive director, and together you guys are working to bring about a conference this summer. It's in June, right?
It is. It's June 13th through the 16th. MHL will be hosting its 59th annual conference in Kirtland, Ohio. This is an event that was supposed to take place in June of 2021. But due to COVID, it was delayed. So it feels providential, I suppose, that this year scholars from across the Mormon tradition will be gathering to discuss the significance of this site.
And of course, the question for people that are coming is, are you going to actually visit the historic sites, or is this whole, acquiring of properties going to mess things up?
Yes. Not only will the conference take place only 20 minutes from historic Kirtland, and the temple will also host two tours that highlight important themes from the era, including LDS women's experiences and communalism, or the idea of consecration of the United Order that we saw among not only the church, but certainly ideas of communalism that seemed to be widespread during this era, and in particular in Ohio. So,
and guys, if you want to join Christine and me in Kirtland this summer, you can come. You can actually attend online if you have to, but we'd love to see you there in person. You need to visit MormonHistoryAssociation.org. The welcome reception this year will actually feature a lecture by LDS church historian Elder Kyle S. McKay, who will talk about the historic transaction. We're going to be back next week.
We look forward to seeing you then.
We'll see you then.